Good morning, everyone. Happy, happy Saturday. This is the maintenance coaching call. We are talking today about what's my summer maintenance range. Hello, Angie. Come on in, everybody. Let me just do some housekeeping. Let me open the chat so I can see y'all. And let me click on participants so I can see. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. I'm going to rename myself. I don't know that any of y'all even noticed this, but we do rename ourselves. I am Coach Christy, not Corinne. Okay. Good morning. Good morning. Hi from Pittsburgh. Hi from Iowa. Almost to maintenance. Amazing. Annette. Hi, Lori. Hi from Florida. My heart is in Florida. My parents live there and my son goes to college in Florida. Hi, Peggy. Well, thank you. Good morning, gorgeous. Well, good morning back to you, Peggy. I'm going to move my camera so it's a little more center so I'm not like looking off to the side. Hi from the Nashville suburbs. Early in San Diego. Lori, it is early. I got up early myself this morning so I could get my workout in and do everything I needed to do before this call. Good morning from Southwest Florida, Rhode Island, Chapel Hill, Georgia. My daughter was born in Georgia. And Rhonda, you say you're working back to maintenance. I love it. Hope you're learning a lot that you missed the first time around. So you'll be able to stay in maintenance with ease. SoCal, Ontario. I love this. Hi from the UK. Hi, Helen. Canada. Wow. Y'all, we are all over the place. I love this. That's what she loves about early morning and fresh walks too. Yes, Lori, I completely agree. Okay, those of you that are in the chat, make sure that your settings are to everyone and not just hosts and panelists in the chat. So you are set to everyone so we can all see what you're typing. I don't know if y'all know, but if you're set to hosts and panelists, then the only people that can see what you've typed in the chat is me and Coach Ashley, who I'm bringing up right now. She's labeled as member success, but that's because that's what she does. She does a lot of member success calls, but I am going to promote her maybe to panelist. Okay, promote to panelist. There you go. Coach Ashley, y'all, is going to be in the chat with you. She is talking in all caps. She's not yelling. She just wants you to know that it's her speaking. She'll be giving out any links that I, she says she declined. Okay. Ashley, did you decline to be promoted? Why? Okay. I'm going to try it again. Okay. She will also be in the Q&A. And if we have time at the end, I will answer any questions that are in the Q&A. So be sure to pop your questions in there. There is one question right here. Good. Carolyn Traub says, good morning from Seattle. Thank you. Let's see. Okay. I think we're ready to go, y'all. All right. So here's how this coaching call is going to work today. This is an open coaching call, which means all you have to do, if you want to get coached today, if you have questions about summer maintenance, honestly, if you have just any questions in general about maintenance, if we have time for those, we can get to those. But today we are specifically talking about summer and your maintenance range. Okay. Thank you, Elena says, cute do, Coach Christy. I never know what my hair is going to do from day to day. Sometimes it's down, sometimes it's up. It just has its own mind. Okay. So I love the title of the call. Can I just say, like, wondering how much fluctuation in your range is okay for you and your body, as if no BS ever tells you what is okay for you to weigh. We don't. It was like a trickery question, I think. The short answer is whatever you deliberately decide. That is the answer to that question. We're going to get more into that as we go on with what I'm going to teach in the beginning today. Ready to stop the scale obsession and enjoy your summer. If you are in maintenance and you still are obsessing over the scale, we're going to talk about that some today too. Okay, wait. Ashley says, sorry, try it again. Okay, I'll try one more time. Let's see, promote to panelist. All right. Okay, so for some of us in maintenance, this may be your very first time experiencing summer in maintenance. And so you may have a lot of questions. You may have some fear. some worries about and some questions about how to be in maintenance in the summertime. And that's totally normal. For those of you that have been in maintenance for a while, you may have a lot of experience with summertime and holidays, anything that's like out of your normal life. And maybe for you, summer is no change. Maybe you just stay in your same maintenance range throughout the summer and you've mastered that. But for those of us that maybe want to adjust our maintenance range for summertime activities, that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today. But if you are in maintenance and your range is just going to stay the same, then, you know, this could still be really helpful, especially if you're having scale drama or just to kind of get some practice into really sitting into your maintenance range with confidence and calmness. Okay, so if you are already thinking about your summer and you are thinking about all the things that you have planned and you're already worried, maybe you just got into maintenance and you're sitting at the top of your maintenance range and you're looking at all the vacations and all the activities that you have planned for this summer, and you're already getting concerned about the scale and what's going to happen. What I really recommend you do, if you have not taken it already, please, just for this summer, go through the Conquering the Scale course. Ashley can put the link to that I don't think I sent you that one. So I'm going to pop it in there right now. I'm going to pop the link to the Conquering the Scale course right now in the chat, because I didn't give Ashley that one. I tried to give her all of the links that we would need, but I will just pop it in there because I already had it ready. So if you are already worried about the scale and your summer weight, I would love, love, love for you to take that course. It is fantastic. There are some great quick hits. Also, if you don't have time to do the whole course, please go to the website and just search scale drama, and you will get some amazing quick hits for you to just kind of get your mind right. Here's essentially what I want your takeaway to be about the scale and your summer maintenance range. If you are already worried about the scale and you're obsessing over that number on the scale, then that tells me that you are more focused on the number, and that is going to take away the focus that ought to be on your behaviors and your desires for how you'd like to show up this summer. This is really no different than when we had scale drama while we were losing our weight. We just got obsessed with the number and we forgot to look at our habits and our behaviors. So in the Conquering the Scale course, Corinne gives an amazing like pre-weigh-in sort of setup of looking through your data, because your data is going to be the best antidote to scale drama. So as you are going through the summer and you are leaning into your maintenance range, do not skimp on collecting your data. If you have a lot of activities that are out of your norm for this summer, which we're going to talk about in just a second, I want you to really dive back into collecting very, very, very accurate data. If you've taken a little bit of a step back from collecting data because you are comfortably in your maintenance range, just jump a little back in for this summer. This is going to be a great tip also for the holiday season. We're just going to kind of ramp up our awareness around our habits when we're in situations that are outside of our normal life. Okay. So summer, take the Conquering the Scale course if you're already freaking out about this scale. Okay. So here's the next question I have for you. What is change? What is different about the summer? Like, does it need to change in the summer? As I said earlier, for some of you, it 100% does not. It may not need to change at all. But for some of us that have a different lifestyle during the summertime, it might need to change. Okay. Here is some reasons our weight changes in the summer. We have a lot of behavior changes in the summer, which I'm going to talk about in just a second, and just normal scale fluctuations. This is why most of us have a range to accommodate for just some normal scale fluctuations. I don't know about y'all, but I am a woman of a certain age, and sometimes I feel like where I am now, the scale just does some random ass shit. Sometimes there are things going on behind the scenes in my body that, as much as I am in control of my habits and aware of my habits, and sometimes my body is just doing some wonky shit. So this is the beauty of collecting that data and getting more specific with your data, is that when you can be confident in the way you showed up and you have the data to prove it, you're then able to say, I don't know what the fuck's going on with the scale. It must be just doing a weird thing right now. It's going to regulate and come back to me at any moment. Data is the best antidote to your scale drama. Okay, so why? What behaviors do we change in the summertime? I think I saw a couple. Yeah, Audrey says summer equals kid at home from school, more out and about, vacations. Yeah, y'all, give me some more. What else is different for y'all in the summertime? Pop it in the chat. What's different? Potlucks. Yes. Okay. Lots more picnics, parties. My son will be home from college for the summer, and I want to be sure I don't feast on his snacks that I don't normally eat. That's a great point. I'm a teacher, so everything. Yes. Poolside and cocktails, barbecues, lots of food choice. Seems like there's more spontaneity. Okay, good. Maria, I want you to remember spontaneous doesn't necessarily have to mean overeating, right? Nicole says the scale pissed her off today. Nicole, set your chat to host and panelists so everybody can see your comment. That's hilarious. The scale pisses us off. Does it really? No, we have thoughts that piss us off, right? Exactly. Jennifer says, I have no schedule, right? This is a great opportunity. If you are a teacher, I'm a former teacher too. Not having a schedule, that sort of lifestyle shift, this is an opportunity for you to create a summer schedule. This is an opportunity for you to have sort of like an ideal day in the regular weight loss planner. There's that ideal day template. I think there might be one in the maintenance planner too. I'm not sure, but there's an ideal day template. This would be a great time for you to come up with your ideal day, summer style. Yeah. Okay. This is great. Paula, the Vegas heat. Yeah. Paula, I miss you. I used to live in Vegas and got to see Paula frequently, but yes, the Vegas heat, when it's hot, it seems like I think about ice cream more. Yes, probably so. Probably so. All right. So yeah, lots of things, vacations, kids are home, parties. There's this sort of summer mindset that sometimes we just naturally go into. Like, think about when you were a kid, and what fall through spring looked like, it was school, right? It was homework, it was projects, it was probably sports, it was clubs and activities. And then summertime came and it was a chance to let your hair down. It was a chance to let go of responsibilities. And so for some of us, even if you're 50, like me, you still sort of go into that summer mindset, even though I still work during the summer and it's not different for me in the summer as far as my life, my brain still is in that kind of summer rhythm. So yeah, drinking, sometimes we drink more in the summer, we're eating out more. Sometimes our sleep is different in the summer. I mean, I don't know, it's darker in the wintertime. It seems like I can sleep more in the wintertime. Summer, I feel like I'm up earlier. Also in the summertime, some of us are dealing with, you know, more body image issues. And so we might be seeing an uptick in our emotional eating because we're wearing shorts and bathing suits and we have all kinds of thoughts about that. But yeah. So there's lots of reasons that, it's different. Our behaviors are different in the summertime. Okay. So the scale is important. I know I said earlier, you know, get over your scale drama, but it is important. And we can actually use the scale during the summer to help us. This is how you do it. You look at the number, you check in with that number. And then if you're ticking up and you are getting outside of your range, or you're at the top of whatever you decide your summer range is going to be, then use the scale to start making some decisions about what is really important to you this summer. Is the extra whatever, food, drinks, skipping sleep, maybe not getting all your water in, is that really what the intention of each event is? Is it about the extra food? Is it about the extra drinks? Or is it about having a break from your job? Is it about spending more time with friends? Is it about getting some really good vitamin D? Is it about maybe some extra rest time for you? Use the scale as an opportunity for you to check in with yourself and what you really want the summer to be about. Now, this kind of goes back. If this is your first summer in maintenance, this is a great skill to have. Asking yourself, what is the intention? For example, I'll just kind of give you all a personal example for me. So I have my neighbor across the street. She has a little one and he's turning one. Actually, his birthday was a couple of days ago, but the party is today. Okay. The party is today. I have a great party protocol. There's lots out there. If you want to know about how to do a protocol for events, there's great information on the website. You can just search, you know, protocols. But my party protocol usually involves a time limit of eating in addition to doable hunger. For example, the party today is like from 11 to I think 1. And so it's a couple hours. I'm 100% sure there's going to be a spread of food. It's going to be buffet style because there's going to be a ton of people there. And so I use doable hunger, but I limit it to a certain time frame. So I give myself a 30-minute window of eating. And I just say from the moment I take my first bite, whether it's charcuterie, main dish, dessert, whatever, I have a 30-minute window where I manage doable hunger. And I'm just going to tell you why that works for me. Sometimes for me, like being in a social setting, especially, I don't know, there's going to be a lot of her family and stuff across the street. So I don't know these people. I get a little bit of like social fatigue, you know, small talk fatigue, you know what I'm talking about? And so for me, setting that 30-minute window, it gives me a definitive, like right and left limits of when I have to manage my mind around what's out. So once my 30-minute window is up, I just turn it off. It's no longer an option for me to continue eating. So that's just one of my protocols. I have lots of different protocols, but that's just one of the ones that I use. I wanted to share, could be helpful for you all as you're going into parties and picnics and things for this summer. Okay. So how do we set a, let me check here. Yes. Okay. Oh, thank you. Well, Marie says 50, you look amazing. Well, I'm not quite 50 yet. I'm actually 50 in December, in September. Sorry. But thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. I also have a filter on the Zoom camera. So you can't see all of my nooks and crannies on my face. All right. So how do we find a maintenance range? Again, for some of you all, this is no different. You're in your range. It's the same for the summer. It's the same for the holidays. That's fine. But for some of us, you may, because of your behaviors that are going to be different and normal scale fluctuations that happen all year long, sometimes those come together like Voltron in the summer. and then you might be sitting higher than your maintenance range, or you might be spending more time at the higher end of your maintenance range. And so how do you decide if you are going to increase your maintenance range, or how do you decide if I'm just going to be at the higher end? Here's what I recommend. If you did not have an opportunity to listen to the summer reset challenge it was last weekend. It was last Saturday. It's free. You have access already to it on the website. You can check it out. But what I would love for you to use from that, if you don't do the whole course, that's fine. But there is a summer reset calendar that I would love for you to start with when deciding if your range is going to be the same, or if you're going to increase it for the summer. Ashley just popped it into the chat because she is freaking amazing. So take a look at this calendar. So as you're kind of thinking like, do I need to increase my range? Do I want to sort of calm my nerves a little bit about this summer? Here's why I love to calendar during holiday seasons or the summer. Take this calendar, plop what you know on there already as far as events. Vacations, parties, you know, kids being home, whatever things that are going to pop up for you this summer that your brain is already concerned about. Look at them in real time. Here's why. Number one, it shows us where our opportunities are to be extremely intentional around our eating. Most of us in maintenance, we are trucking just along when life is normal. And if you're listening to this on the replay, I'm air quoting normal, right? Like when life is just hunky-dory, everything's fine. It's our normal work days, our normal life. Maintenance can feel very easy, but it's when we have these out of the ordinary experiences that kicks up sometimes our fear about our maintenance range and our ability to stay in it. Okay. So looking at these on the calendar is going to show you where you might want to ramp up journaling, where you might want to ramp up data collection, where you might want to ramp up really setting the intention for the day, maybe having a very specific protocol for event, something like that. It's going to show you, hey, okay, starting that second week in July, that's going to be really important for me to make sure that I'm super on point for my doable hunger, that I may be more specific with my planning than I have been in maintenance. These are the opportunities that I really want to pay attention to. The other thing that doing that calendar will do for you is it will show you, and some of y'all might remember this from the Handling the Holidays course, because it's the same idea. It will show you where your regular eating days are. Because here's what happens, right? Our habit brains think about the summer and they're like, if it's like mine, and if you have a lot of vacations, it's like, oh my God, the whole summer's fucked. Like, I can't even lose weight. I can't maintain my weight. I'm just screwed from the beginning. I'm just going to go ahead and just ride this summer out. And I'll start back in August and I'll hit it really hard. I'll probably do some kind of cleanse or some shit, you know, whatever, right? That's what my brain likes to do. I got two vacations planned inside of 12 weeks and my brain thinks that maintenance is impossible. I do actually have two vacations planned. I'm super excited. I'm going to Jamaica at the end of this month. So I'm super excited about that. But it's 4 days. 4 days, y'all, I'm going to be in Jamaica and my brain wants to think the whole month of June is shot for staying in my maintenance range, right? Not true, not true. So use that calendar to sort of show your brain where the white space is, right? Where is my normal eating? And if you really want to be like diabolical, count the days, y'all. Like count the days. Count how many days are like typical normal eating days versus how many days you're going to be on vacation. Okay. The other thing that it allows you to do, one more thing, the last thing it allows you to do is it allows you to make decisions about maybe where you want to overeat. Maybe you can make some really deliberate decisions about what's going to be most important to you. This is very similar to sort of like velvet roping your food. If you don't know what I mean by that, it's basically like, I'm going to do velvet ropes today at the party. Basically what that means is, anything that's out at the party that is not worthy of getting behind my velvet ropes, I'm not going to even entertain. I'm not going to even, like, for example, for me, for potato salad, like, unless it's mine, I don't like it. People put onions in potato salad. I don't like onions. So I'm not even going to scoop any, right? It's not going to be worth getting behind my velvet ropes. So when you calendar your events, you'll be able to say, okay, is my vacation to Disney World for 3 days where I want to indulge a little bit more, or Tracy, my next door neighbor's random pool party, right? Like, which one is going to be the most important for you? Decide where, what is going to be more important for me to really focus on maybe indulging a little bit more? Which ones do I care least about, right? That don't even matter. That's what calendaring can do for you. Okay. Now, here's what I'd like to know. Think about this. Where are you now in your summer, in your maintenance range? Where are you? Just think about it. Think about whether or not you want to go above that range for the summertime with awareness and control, right? Or do you just want to widen your range overall? Like, what are your thoughts about your summer range? Okay, pop in the chat. Y'all tell me what you're doing. Are y'all staying within your range or are you expanding it a little bit? Tell me what y'all are doing so I can kind of get a sense. So Paula says she's going to go about 12 over her top, or that's where you are now, Paula. Okay. I'm trying to get started. Okay. Oh, now she's about, okay. So Paula, what's your plan for your summer? Are you going to allow yourself to go above? Or are you still trying to get back down in? What's your plan? Tammy says she's staying in her current range. Helen says you're staying in your range. You're midway. Good. Elena says I'm staying in my range. No reason to change it because I don't have food drink events. Okay. Anybody else want to share? Expanded my range to 10 pounds because I swell when I fly and have lots of travel. Definitely staying. Staying in her range, says Andrea, got to the bottom to give herself a little bit of room to go back up. Okay. Audrey says, I aim to stay in my range, but I do know that pre-Novia summers tended to be a few pounds up. Okay, that's great awareness. All right. I have been gaining the last few months, says Misty. So I want to lose 20 pounds to get back. So you're going to be losing this summer, Misty. Okay. Lots of staying in my ranges. A couple of you are expanding your range. Beth says, I just got back into my range after 6 pound regain. She intends to stay. It's a lot easier to stay than get back. Well, there's a thought, Beth. Chasta says, working on my thoughts about being at the top of my range. Oh, we're going to talk about that today, Chasta. So be sure and stay on the call. We're actually going to discuss that. Okay. So I want you to think about what you've decided for the summer range. I want you to think about that. Think about the decision you just made in the chat, or if you didn't put it in the chat, think about what you just thought about in your head. And I want you to ask yourself, why did I decide this? Why did I pick that? Is it from fear? Because you're afraid that if you get out, you won't be able to get back in? Is it just random? Like, did you just pick a random range? Because you think, okay, if I stay within this range, then I'm going to feel better. If I stay within this range, then I'm going to look better in a bathing suit. If I stay within this range, then I won't have to worry about the scale. I won't have to work on my scale drama. Why did you pick the range that you're in? Just think about that. Sometimes this is no different than like why maybe you picked your range for maintenance period, right? Sometimes we pick a range or we pick a weight because it's likely tied to some sort of lifestyle that you thought it would be at a certain number or way you thought you would feel once you got to that number. And as many of us can attest to in maintenance, that's not always true. Like, for example, Corinne talks about, you know, she picked 150 because she thought workouts would be easier. She thought she would look amazing in her clothes. Did she really know? No, it was kind of a random number. This is just what she thought would happen at that number. Doesn't always line up to how the reality of it. Okay. Did you pick a number or do you want to stay in a number in your range because you think that will mean that you're good enough? As long as I stay here, that I'm good enough because that's what the BMI chart says. As long as I stay in this range, that's close to what my Weight Watcher goal range was. So I'll be safe or I'll feel good, right? So I want you to think about for this summer, do you want that? Do you want to stay within your range for those reasons? Or do you want to be happy with your habits and behaviors? Think about your why for the range that you've chosen, whether it's going to be staying in the range that you are or expanding a little bit. What is your reason? And do you want that to be the driver or do you want your habits and behaviors to be the driver of your range? And that's just something to consider. This is what we call when we end up letting our habits and our behaviors be the driver of our choices. I'm going to say that again. When we end up letting our habits and our behaviors be the driver of our choices versus some external rules that we think, BMI charts, doctors, society, Corinne's weight. How many of us picked a weight because we saw what Corinne weighed and we thought that's a good one for me too, right? I did, just FYI in the beginning, right? Do you want that to be the driver or do you want your habits and behaviors that you are comfortable with be the driver? Corinne in the Novius, in the maintenance course, she calls that your happy weight. When you let your habits and behaviors be the driver of your choice for weight range, that's your happy weight. I call it habit weight. Happy weight to me equals habit weight. The habits that I am comfortable with and that I'm happy with in my life equal my happy weight. Okay. So here's an example. When I was in Weight Watchers, they told me that my weight needed to be 153. And I think in Weight Watchers, did you get like a 2 pound? I think you get a 2 pound range, right? Like I think you get a 2 pound range, which is crazy. I gained 2 pounds just eating, you know, an egg roll. But anyway, Weight Watcher said my weight was, should have been 153. I actually got down to lifetime of 157 at one point, but I had to get a doctor's note to say that I could weigh 157. Anyway, most of y'all know my journey. If you don't, I'll give you the brief synopsis. I hit 157. At that point, I had lost 107 pounds. As soon as I was done with Weight Watchers, I started gaining. I gained back 75 pounds of that weight, tried a myriad of things in between, then found No BS and got back down to my current range for me is 170 to 180. So I want you to think about that. My range is 170 to 180. That is not what I started in No BS. I thought I should be 150 to 160 like Corinne because she's my fearless leader and I should be just like her, right? Or I would see what other people were weighing. And I'm like, well, that's obviously what I should weigh. Well, I should shoot for this. Even in, within our own maintenance group, some of you might be in the maintenance Facebook group and you might see people talking about where they are. And you might think, oh, well, to really be in maintenance, I should be down in the 140s or the 130s. You might be thinking that. And I'm here to give you permission to weigh whatever happy weight you want. Mine is 170 to 180. And that's what works for me. Okay. Does the idea of weighing in my maintenance range freak you out? If so, why? This is an indicator that you are still letting what other people say you should weigh, or what society thinks you should weigh, or what your mom thinks you should weigh, or your dog, you are letting that be more important than the life you want to have. And I had to work on that myself. When I kept trying to get down to that 150 to 160, I was beating myself up for not being there, even though I liked my life and I liked the way I was eating. I was still not good enough because I wasn't where everyone else was typically in maintenance. And that's the thing about maintenance, y'all. You get to decide what maintenance is. That's why No BS doesn't give you numbers that you should weigh. We don't say, okay, when you join No BS, everybody go to this chart and look at your height and look at your age. And that's what we're trying to get you to. You get to decide. You get to decide. I had to go to work on giving myself permission to let the relationship I wanted to have with myself and food drive my decisions. I had to give my permission to myself for that. And I hereby give you all permission to decide for yourselves what range is best for you. Now, for some of y'all that might be thinking like, but you know, how is it okay that we, you know, somebody might choose to weigh 220 pounds and then they have diabetes and they have all these health issues. Remember, everybody gets to decide for themselves. If you want to weigh a certain amount because that's where you're healthiest and that's where you feel good, great. But that's still you deciding for yourself. I'm just going to tell y'all right now, at 170 to 180, I run marathons. I lift heavy weights. I have tons of energy. I have an amazing relationship with food. It's what feels right to me. Okay. Enough about that. Okay. So does extending your weight range, if you're thinking about doing this for the summertime, does extending your weight range make you nervous? If so, let's ask ourselves why. And I think some of you were talking in the chat about being at the top end of your range and sort of feeling a little bit nervous about that. Why are you nervous about A, extending your range, or being at the top end? What are you making it mean? This is your thought about being at the top end. Okay. If you're in the maintenance Facebook group, I did put some resources that we were going to use today. I have been referencing lesson 4, how to set a weight range. I've been referencing that. That was the whole beginning. So if you want to go back and listen to lesson 4, it's pretty much a summary of the beginning of my conversation with y'all. But right now we're going to go on to the worksheet. So if you happen to have that pulled up, if not, you can always go back and find it. It is the lesson 4 worksheet, how to set a weight range. And this is using the 4 N's new belief process within your goal range. Okay. So I'm going to go ahead. Let me pull this up so I can remember the questions on it. All right. So if you're thinking about your goal range for the summer, and if you have not done this yet to even determine what your maintenance range is, like I know some of you aren't quite in maintenance yet, or maybe you're rethinking it. Maybe the range that you thought you wanted to be, like me, 150 to 160, maybe you thought that was the end all be all, but now you're kind of rethinking that. Let's use this worksheet to sort of think about what we want our range to be. Okay, so the first question in this on this worksheet is my chosen weight range is between blank and blank. Okay. The notice question is, when I'm at the top end of my goal range, I notice thoughts like blank. Pop into the chat, y'all. What are your thoughts when you're at your top end of your range? What do you think? What do you notice you think when you're at the top end of your range? Holy crap, says Misty. I'm going to gain all my weight back. Yes, that's very common. Anyone else? I'm getting out of control. Yes, exactly. Elena says, I prefer to stay in her mid-range, range of 5 for me, being short. Okay, that's okay. You can do that. Emergency, says Beth Quinlan. Now, some of those thoughts, these are not like terrible thoughts, right? They're not terrible thoughts. We can use, remember I said earlier, I was referencing earlier, you can use the scale as an indicator to check in with yourself. It can be a good thing. It's not always a bad thing to be at the top end of your range and be like, you know, oh gosh, okay, I need to start diving into my data here. Maybe I need to start planning a little more specifically. Remember the lesson in the maintenance course, avoiding the easing up trap? Maybe I need to go back and listen to that because I'm easing up a little bit, clearly, right? But it is not an opportunity for you to make it mean that you can't get it back under control. Of course you can. You lost your weight by doing habits and behaviors that allowed you to lose weight. So it's 100% possible if you're at the top end of your range, or even if you're out of your range, to get back into it. You've done it once, you'll do it again. This time we want to do it calmer and without fear, okay? Ashley put the worksheet I'm referencing in the chat for y'all. Okay, so when you're at the top end of your range, one of the things one of y'all said was, you know, I'm out of control, okay? So we notice we think when we're at the top end of our range that we're out of control. How does it make sense? This is the normalizing step. How does it make sense that you think that thought? Where did it come from? Where did this fear, where did this panic, where did we get it? Some of y'all tell me. Where did this come from? Diets. Helen says, yeah, diet. Yeah. Regains in the past. Exactly. Exactly. Who said that? Yeah, diet trauma, Angie. Elena, you're exactly right. Remember, guys, our habit brains only use the Rolodex of our past. So when we see a certain number on the scale, if you are not actively, deliberately thinking something on purpose about this number, your habit brain is going to offer an interpretation. And its interpretation is going to be based in your past. It's going to see the number, and then it's going to go back into the Rolodex of your past, and it's going to interpret the number, and it's going to say, okay, well, last time she was at this number, what happened? Oh yeah, she put on 20 pounds. That's obviously what's going to happen. Okay. That's why it's normal for you to have this thought. It's 100% normal. If you are not thinking deliberately about being at the top end of your range, your habit brain is going to make it mean a bunch of shit from your past. Okay, so that's normalized. Next question on the worksheet. When you are at the top end of your range, let's neutralize this. Let's talk about the boring ass facts of the number on the scale. Give me a neutralizing comment. Anybody in the chat that is at the top end of their range, tell me what the facts are about your weight right now. Somebody give it to me. Boring, boring facts. Angie, excellent. Today I weigh 157. So boring, Angie. That is not dramatic at all. Yes, Elena says she still fits in her clothes at this range. Yes, at this weight. Perfect. That's a fact. Yes, this is the boring facts. Take away all the drama. Today the scales show 158. My range is 145 and to 150, and today I am 151. Fact. The scale reads a number today. Fact. Yes, these are just the facts. Take away all the drama. That's the point of neutralizing. The point of neutralizing is to just remove any drama you're having about the number. Okay. If you want to really get into neutralizing a number, like put as many facts as you can down. Things like, this would be where your data would go, by the way. So things like, I overate at dinner last night. Today the scale says blank. Facts. No drama. This is what happened. this is the number of scale. I did not get my 64 ounces of water in yesterday. Today, the scale says this. Okay. This is a sneaky hack. You can put a lot of facts. Remember, guys, when you're neutralizing and normalizing, it doesn't have to be, except for the noticing, we want to put one thought. We don't want to muddy it up with a whole narrative, right? But for normalizing and neutralizing, and even honestly, next best thought, it can be multiple sentences, right? Okay. Then after you've neutralized this thought, what are the facts? I love it. Oh, is my dog walking around? Angie, are you talking about my dogs? They're sleeping in their bed. Maybe they were just walking around. What is the next best thought you can think? If you notice the thought, I'm out of control. That was the thought we noticed when we put it in these four ends. Oh, one was roaming. Yeah, they do that. I'm surprised they're not barking. Usually they bark. But when we notice the thought, I'm out of control, what is the next best thought we can think, y'all? Somebody give me the next best thought that talks back to I'm out of control. Somebody give me one. No BS has taught me the tools to get back in control. Love it. I have the four basics. Yes. I know what to do. Yes. I think back to the basics. Yes. I can make a plan today and I will be in control. So good. I love that. Is that true? Right? We can answer that question. It is not true. I'm out of control. I figure things out. The basics are my home base. Yes. Yes. This is today's data and doesn't determine my future. Exactly. My next choice is the most important one. Y'all, these are so good. Y'all can tell your maintainers. You've done this before. You've done this work, right? If you are getting overwhelmed, if you're 10 pounds over your range and you're getting overwhelmed about this, when we are overwhelmed, it's because we are thinking long-term and we are thinking big picture. With my private clients, the best tip I have when you're in overwhelm is to bring it back to the moment. Stop looking at the big picture. Bring it back to, I think Angie said, I can make a plan today. What decision can you make right now in this moment that's going to take a step toward getting you back to your maintenance range? Don't look at how much you have to lose. Don't look at how much you're out of your range. What am I doing today that's going to get me back into my maintenance range? Excellent. Excellent. Okay. I'm not going to go over the second part of this worksheet, but if you have drama about being at certain places in your maintenance range, please complete this worksheet in the maintenance course. Okay. We are getting ready to open coaching for anyone that wants to get coached. We have about 15, 20 minutes left. I just want to say a couple of things. If you are in maintenance and you have not submitted that to us, Ashley's going to pop the link to sign up for maintenance, because in order to be able to see the maintenance course and have access, there's a whole maintenance page on the website that's just for y'all. You have to sign up and submit, and then we give you access to it. So Ashley's going to pop the link in. Ashley, do you have it? If you don't, and somebody else is asking for a link to the, there she goes. Sign up for maintenance here. So if you're like, I can't see the maintenance course, you have to sign up for maintenance first, and then you'll have access to the maintenance course. Just give it some time. You know, they actually have to go in and manually add you. So give it, 24, 48 hours. If you still have trouble, please just email support@pmptribe.com and they can get you right into maintenance. Good. Helen says, I've just done that earlier. Excellent. Excellent. So yes, you have to sign up for the maintenance course first, then you can have access, or for maintenance first, then you can have access to the course, et cetera, et cetera. And that's where these worksheets live, by the way, inside of the course. If you haven't done the course in a while, highly suggest reconnecting with that. Once you sign up for maintenance, there's also a maintenance planner that's different from the weight loss planner. You can toggle between the two if you are switching from weight loss mode to maintenance, whatever works best for you. Okay. Enough talking, Christy. Let's get to a little bit of coaching, shall we? All right. If you would like to be coached, anything maintenance, something about summer, something about your summer maintenance range, please just raise your hand and I will pull you up. You will come. Is there a charge for this? No, Sue, there is no charge. It's included in your membership. Corinne, I don't know if y'all remember. I think the maintenance course came out like a couple years ago. Has it been a couple years? I don't remember. Y'all might remember. But it was her baby. It was one thing that she knew was missing in OBS. We did not have something specific for maintainers. And so this was her baby that she birthed to the membership. And y'all, it's really good. The maintenance course I put right up there with the Trusting Your Body course, two of my favorite, absolute favorite courses. Did it come out? Okay. Last summer. Oh, so it's only been a year. Okay. Angie says it came out right when you hit. Yeah. It was our gift to Angie. She wrote it for Angie. Okay. All right, guys, last time, this could be a really short call. We have 15 minutes. Who would like some coaching on maintenance? Angie, I know, don't be tempted to raise your hand. You do not have to, unless you have something you want me to coach you on. She always raises her hand, but raise your hand and, we can chit chat about maintenance. If you just want to hop on here and you have a question about general maintenance, if you have a question about the course, hop on and let me know. If you want help investigating some overeating, if you want a little bit of help with your summer planning, now's the time. Otherwise, I'm just going to assume that every single one of you on this call are solidly in maintenance. You are 100% sure that this summer is going to be amazing for you, that you've got a solid plan, you have no questions, you're ready to go, and you just got onto this call to like hang out with me and see this cool new shirt I got from TJ Maxx, because I did. Y'all know I shop at TJ Maxx. Anyone? Bueller. Okay, Audrey has raised her hand. She has saved y'all. I'm going to pull you up, Audrey. Here you come. Okay. Be sure to, if you just have a question that you want to pop in the Q&A, let's see, while Audrey's coming up, I'm going to answer. Tracy says in the Q&A, if you have 20 to lose, is maintenance too soon to start? Yes, stay in the weight loss portion of the program until you get to your maintenance range. We do have a Facebook group that's called, is it 20 to lifetime? I think it's 20 to lifetime or 20 to life or something like that. So check out that Facebook group. Ashley, if you could maybe pop in the subgroup link. I didn't give you that one. Sorry. Or if you know how to find the subgroups on our website, if you go to on the menu, if you go down to Facebook and accountability, click on Facebook, it will show you all the subgroups and you can join from there. But it is not too, it is not too late, Tracy, to start thinking about maintenance and to start planning and getting really, really confident in your habits. Okay. Hi, Audrey. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. It's my first time being coached. So,
okay. Welcome. It's going to be so fun. It's just me and you and like, you know, a few hundred people. It's fine.
Yeah. It's not a big deal. I've been in maintenance since the beginning of the year. And I loved what you said about it being the first summer of maintenance. That was really helpful because I am kind of at the top of the range I like to be in, which is a small range. But my question actually is about something a little bit different about maintenance that I'm encountering of old shitty, of negativity moving. Now that the weight's comfortable, I hear like a different voice and I'm like, I just need a power thought. And the voice is like, you're old. So it's like it picked on me about the clothes don't fit right and the weight's not where you want it. And now that I eliminated that, I guess I naively thought, oh, it's just going to go away. So it just kind of moved venue, if that makes sense. And I'm not against
100%.
I love old people, but don't accept it for myself. And hitting 50 in December, I'm excited about, but somehow still judging myself.
50, me and you, Audrey, are hitting 50 and the 50 this coming up last end of the year. I'm with you. I'm going to be in Germany with my girlfriends and I am going to celebrate it. But I get you. Okay. This is a classic example, Audrey, of, and I'm so glad you came on this call. So thank you for raising your hand. This is why, y'all, we say love yourself all the way down the scale. And when I say love yourself, that's a verb. It is a practice that you have, right? Because learning to love yourself down the scale is a practice that you do. So when you get into maintenance, you will still have developed the practice of loving everything about yourself. And hear me when I say this, this is not about like loving yourself, you know, and accepting yourself at 200 pounds, you know, so you don't have to feel bad about being 200 pounds. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about getting into the habit of loving who you are. Okay. And this habit, if you do it all the way down the scale, if you are in a practice of loving yourself every day, that will help you when you get to maintenance. Because this is the classic example of, well, I thought when I got to maintenance, I would look so good. I feel so good. And our brains, being the assholes that they are, Steve is my habit brain. He's a dick, right? He will find something else to pick on you about because that's his job. His job is to find the problems. Your weight was a problem for a long time. So you thought, well, if I could just fix that, I'm good to go. And lo and behold, look what Steve does. He finds another problem, right? He's like, and you're a little bit old, right?
I've tried on the sentence of I'm mature. To see, I just need to change the language. And I had my son a little bit later in life. So I think there's this comparison between, well, this is what my parents did and I'm so far behind. I let my hair go natural. That was brave and bold. And I feel fine about that. This is who it is. But it's just so funny. I need a different sentence because I hear myself saying it in front of lots of people, but also in front of my child. And he always pushes back on me, which is good.
Yeah. Why do you, when, give me an example of a time that you say it in front of people. When do you say that?
Well, a lot of times with my son, I think I have chronic illness. I really try to stay healthy, whatever I think active and healthy is. And I feel like it's never where I want it to be. And so that seems to be part of what I label myself as old. It's not really the age. It's like what I feel like my body should be able to do. If that makes sense.
Yeah. So it's a way of you explaining why you're not meeting a standard that you are holding yourself for. Yeah. So good. Right. So I mean, not so good, so bad. Right. But this is what we're talking about, Audrey. So when you say what I think my body should be able to do, this is telling me that you are not in acceptance of the person that you are, and you are focusing more on your gaps instead of your gains. And so when we are in that gappy sense, and if y'all haven't read the book, The Gap and the Gain, it's in Corinne's like favorite store things. It's really good. But essentially the story is that when you are always comparing yourself to where you are supposed to be, I air quotes again, I love air quotes. When we are always comparing ourselves to where we're supposed to be, we are always going to feel not quite there. Quite there, right? Instead of comparing ourselves and accepting ourselves where we are with the sort of things that we've been given, right?
That's a great resource. I think that the root of it that I'm really working on is the perfectionism piece. I saw people mention that in the chat, and I can see out of the corner of my eye all these wonderful ages coming up. And the older other people get, the more excited I am. So right. It's about a perfectionism issue on the inside. And I haven't done the self-love course. Is that what it's called? Yeah. I haven't done that yet. So that sounds like that.
You just coached yourself. I will send you a portion of my no BS paycheck. So because you made it very easy for me, that was going to be my suggestion to you. Complete the self-love course. If you don't have time to do that, here's what I would love for you to do. Like in your journal, I would love for you to make a list of all the things you think you should be doing with your body. Make a list. Like, let's just see them. Let's just lay it out. What is the standard? I should be able to do 20 pushups on my toes. I should be able to do, you know, I don't even know what all the things are that you think you're supposed to be able to do. Okay. Let's just see what they are. Let's see the standard that you're holding yourself to. And then let's start looking at where we are now and all the things that we have accomplished and that we can do. Make two lists. Okay. And then I want you to question those things on this list. Do I really want them? Should I really be able to do them? Where did I get this from? This is like kind of like setting our goal weight. Why did you pick, you know, Christy? I'm saying to myself, why'd I pick 150? Well, because Corinne weighs that. Like it's an opportunity for you to be like, where did I even get this shit from?
Right. I think that's so true because I read somewhere one time that when we get to heaven, you know, God's not going to say, Audrey, you really should have been more like Christy, right? Like it's about being our best us. So
yes, this is about you defining what you think is best for you and letting go, like really examine. Like if you do this shit through the four ends, like I would love for you to make that list of all the things I think I should be doing and then put that shit through the four ends. and spend a lot of time normalizing. Where did this come from? Like for example, if you use my example of, I should be able to do 20 pushups on my toes. Well, where did that come from? Well, I remember when I was watching P90X back in 1980, he said a measure of fitness was, you know, or whatever it was.
Right.
It makes sense that I think I should do that. And then neutralize that. I can't do 20 pushups on my toes. I can do 20 on my knees, or I can do 20 on the wall, or whatever. What are the facts here?
Or I don't even want to do 20.
Or I don't want to do 20. I want to do one. Or I hate pushups because I got a shitty shoulder, you know, or whatever. I mean, I don't even know, right? But think about that. So you asked for like a power sentence. So you said, I'm mature. Does that work for you? Is that working for you as a power sentence?
I think it's going to work for now. Mm-hmm. I mean, that just happened like yesterday or the day before when I was talking to my son. He's 15. And I just was thinking, well, I'm just going to try on I'm mature. And he looked at me like, that's not much of an upgrade. But I think it's enough for now.
And it can be, right? And it can be. I would love for you to try on thoughts like, you said you're 49, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I would love instead, when you hear your brain say, I'm old, I would love for you to say, I'm 49 and I am always evolving into the next best version of me.
Yeah, that's good.
I am 49 and I'm wearing it well. I'm 49 and I still set goals for myself. I'm 49 and I still have things that I love to do. I'm 49 and I'm done beating myself up about shit.
Yeah, that
like, I'm done with that. Like, do we want to spend the next 50 years like finding all the shit that's wrong with us? Or do we want to spend the next 50 years like thinking about the badass that you are, Audrey, and focusing and putting effort into that all the time?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I'm glad I came on, even though I didn't fix my hair.
You look amazing, and happy birthday to us this year.
That's right.
All right. Thank you for raising your hand and being brave. Okay. Take care. All right. Let me put her back on down. Y'all, I've gotten so much faster at doing this shit. The first call, y'all may not remember, but one of my first coaching calls, I would tell you, go back and like find it on the webpage. I was so nervous. All right, Joan, let's get you up real quick. Let's see how it goes. Joan, you're coming on up. Helen asks in the chat, how often are the maintenance calls? Right now, they are scheduled every other month. So what's this month? June. So not July, but I'll see y'all again in August. Hi, Joan. I feel like I've coached you before, Joan. Have I coached you before?
You have. I'm an elder. I've been with you guys for a couple years, and I made it to maintenance, and then I was freaking out because I was out of maintenance. Mm. So I did the summer reset, and I decided that I was going to go back to the weight loss program, the weight loss journaling. So I did that, but I also added in some other things. And so am I in the right place? Should I be in the weight loss journal, or... Like, I still have questions about, I got about 10 pounds, 9 or 10 pounds I want to lose to get to my original goal range that I was in for 14 months. I kept telling myself, I was only there a little while. But then I went back through all my old data and I said, I was there for 14 months.
Y'all, Joan is just giving y'all the best example of why data is important. It is important because our brains will make it way worse. Typically, our brains will make it way worse than it was, right? So you were in maintenance for 14 months. So whether or not you go, are you talking about the planner? Like, should I go to the weight loss planner or the maintenance planner? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
It doesn't matter. Whatever you find more useful for you. If it were me, I would go to the weight loss planner since I'm still trying to lose weight. That's what I would do.
All right. That's what I did. So, okay.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Because I feel like the questions in there are more guided toward weight loss. And since that's what you're kind of going for, that's the planner that I would find most helpful. Now, does that mean if you're using the maintenance planner that you can't lose weight? No, that does not mean that. If you want to stay with the maintenance planner and you like it, just keep using it. You can definitely do that. But let me ask you, Joan, since I've got you on here and we have a minute left, how did you get out of maintenance?
How did I get out of maintenance? Bad thinking. And then bad habits. First, I had surgery like 18 months ago, and I thought that was going to throw me off because I couldn't exercise. I do like to exercise. And Corinne had coached me at the time, said, no, exercise won't affect it. And it didn't for about 5 months. When I started exercising again, I gained weight. I think mentally I was thinking, I'm walking now. I'm going to the gym. I'm lifting my little weights. I can eat more. So I think I mentally screwed myself up that way.
That's that easing up trap. that we talked about earlier, right? That's that easy. Oh.
Yes. Thinking, okay, I made it and I'm done.
Exactly. Yeah, I made it and I'm done. And now I've sprinkled back in exercise again. So I can be a little wiggle room right here. And the scale will tell you. Some of us can. Corinne talks about that in the maintenance program. Some of us can get away with a little bit of extra eating, overeating than we were doing when we were losing weight, you know, and we can do that, but the scale will tell you, right? Okay. What else? Right. So you were overeating a little bit and you think it was because of that shitty thinking about, you know, you could afford to.
Sorry about that. I'm outside. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. It was that. And I let my habits go lax. Like I wasn't planning and I wasn't intentional. And I didn't have plans for the weekends. I would just enter the weekends and say, uh-oh, here it comes. Like, I'm at the beach. I have a house at the beach. And I have a
beautiful
load of people coming down every weekend, family, and they're on their way now. But with a lot of journaling, I've gotten to the point where, okay, this is not a free-for-all. In fact, last night I went out with friends at their house, and I wrote a very specific protocol for exactly what I was going to eat, what I was going to say to food pushers, drink pushers, blah, blah, blah. And I stayed on plan and I had a great meal and I had one drink and I had a handful of dessert and my weight.
I love that. And this is what I was saying in the beginning, you know, it is helpful to have when we have challenging or outside of our normal situations, it's helpful to go back to those tools that we used when we were in weight loss protocols, maybe a little more specific planning. Maybe make sure you get your water in instead of just going, you know, I'm pretty good with water, right? Like make sure you're doing it, right? Make sure you get some extra sleep. Make sure you get some movement in. Those kinds of things. Go back to the things that you did to set the bumpers around those scenarios, especially if it's a scenario that you haven't been yet in maintenance. Like if you haven't been to your summer house yet in maintenance, this is going to be new territory for you. How do you navigate? And it sounds like you are figuring it out perfectly. And I'm so glad. The journaling is going to be super helpful. You know, writing about each morning. What are my challenges today? How can I think on purpose today? How can I be in control of today? And that's going to get you and collecting that data. Go back to collecting that data. So we don't let our brains just make up stuff.
I made a weekend habit tracker just for the weekends. After the summer reset, I thought, you know what? I need a separate one because on the weekends, my behaviors are different because I'm hosting everybody. So I made things on there like I wanted it, but I put it down. That's one of my habits.
I love this, John. I'm stealing this.
Yeah, because when I'm doing this. Oh, sorry. I got to go in. It's too noisy. So when I did it last night, I did my weekend habit tracker this morning and I also did my regular habit tracker and it took me about 2 seconds. It didn't take me long. So I put in different habits for the weekend that I'm not faced with during the week. Like on the weekends, I'm going to drink bottled water because it's pre-measured. I don't have to worry about getting up the morning or somebody else drinking my water, blah, 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 because I have a house full. So silly things like that.
Brilliant. Oh my gosh. This is so good, Joan. Did y'all hear what she was saying? I was kind of over talking because I was getting so excited. Sorry about that, Joan. But she uses a separate habit tracker for the weekends because she tracks different things. I think that's genius. Love, love, love that you figured that out. Where is your summer home? Because it looks beautiful.
I'm in Ocean City, New Jersey.
Ocean City, down the shore.
And I'm 69 years old. And I'm wrapping my head around it, ladies. I'm in my 70th year.
I love this. Look at this. And would you say you're old, Joan? How would you describe yourself?
Oh, hell no.
Audrey, do you hear that? Joan is 69, fixing to turn 70, and she is not old. Look at her. She looks amazing. And she is
I did my yoga this morning. Yeah, I did my yoga. I'm in better shape now than I was 5 years ago.
Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. Thank you so much for coming on, Joan, and sharing how you're figuring out the summer to work for you. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate all of the membership, everybody in it. Thank you.
I love it. You're welcome. You're welcome. All right. Bye-bye, hon. So good. Okay, y'all, I'm 4 minutes over, so I'm going to wrap it up. But please, if you got a lot out of this call, go back and watch the replay. It should be up on Tuesday. Today's Saturday. Yes, Tuesday. It should be up and ready to go for y'all to listen to. And please, have a good summer. Be deliberate. And let's stay in our maintenance. Y'all have a good one.